Okay, today's daf is Vav Metzia daf Kuf Gimel. Our learning should be Luzchus Refor Shleima for Peretz Shmuel Melech Ben Reza Malka. He's having surgery today. Okay, so we left off on daf Kuf Beis Amad Beis. We are at, we ran through the last two lines, so let's just go back to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Amar Karka B'cheskos Ba'aleh Kayemes. That we had this discussion, if they use two Lashonos in a Schiris agreement, that they used the Lashon that it's going to cost X amount per year, and they used another Lashon that described how much it's going to cost per month, right? So what do you do with that last month? So Rav Nachman says that the karka remains in the chazakah of the owner, meaning, says Rashi, v'afilu ba b'sof ha-chodesh, even if they come already first at the end of the month, kula l'maskir, the landlord still gets the full payment for that month. Why? Shasafik lo achshav nolad. The suffik didn't first come up now at the end of the month. Elamit chilas hachodesh nolad. The suffik was there at the beginning of the month. Vehemet karka al cheskaso. And therefore the chazak of the karka is in the hands of the balabayis. Vinimtsa shadar b'shal chaveru v'tzarech la'alos l'schar. And therefore it turns out that the socher was living in the maskish property, so he's going to have to pay him for that. So frak the gemara, my kamashmul and tfos l'shanachron. Hainu derav. What are you telling me? You're telling me tfos l'shanachron that we follow the lashon where he's paying by the month rather than paying for the year? Well, Rav already taught us tfos l'shanachron. So answers gemara, no. Afagav da afich mepach. It doesn't matter which lashon came first. He could have even said the lashon of paying by the month first, and then the lashon of paying by the year, and Rav Nachman would still say he has to pay. It has nothing to do with which lashon is rishon and which lashon is achron, and it has everything to do with the fact that since it's a suffik, we look at who's muchzak on the land, and the balabayis is muchzak on the land. Mele, he's going to get paid for that month of someone living on the land that he's muchzak in. So that's it. That's the sheet of Rav Nachman. Period. Bo minei Rabbi Yanai. Socher amar nasati umaskar amar lo natalti. If the socher says I paid up, the masker says that's nice that you paid up, but you didn't pay me because I didn't get anything. Al mila havi raya. So who has to bring a raya that they're telling the truth? So says the gemara. Wait a second. Emas. It depends when they make these claims. Ibitoch zmano. If it's still within the zman of the schirus where the money isn't yet due, tanina. Then we already have a beferisha statement in Tanaim to teach us about that. We have a beferisha mishnah. And ilach zmano tanina. And if it's after the payment was already due, we also have a beferisha mishnah. Where are these beferisha mishnayis? Titnan. Meis ha'av betoch shlo shemyom b'cheska shlo nifte ad shiyavi raya shenifte. If a father, Achman al son, dies within 30 days of his firstborn son's birth, so the assumption is that the pidyon was not yet done, unless you have a raya that the pidyon was done, because the money's not due until after 30 days. So mustam, if it's within the time that the money was not yet due, then probably the father didn't pay. So the only way you're going to assume the father paid is if he brings a raya. And if it was after 30 days, then the assumption is that the pidyon was already done, unless we hear otherwise, unless someone tells us that we know that there was no pidyon, unless we've been informed that there was not a pidyon done. But otherwise, we assume after the money was due, the money must have been paid already. So don't you see, that's exactly our case. If you have a socher and a masker arguing whether they paid, who are we going to believe? We look whether it's betoch l'zman or after l'zman. If it's betoch l'zman, we assume it has not yet been paid, and therefore the socher is going to have to bring a raya that he did pay. If it's after l'zman, we assume it was paid, and the masker is going to have to bring a raya that it was not paid. So the answer is Gemara, lo tzricha b'yoma de mishlam zimni. No, we're talking about right on the day. On the day it was due. Mi avidinish depar b'yoma de mishlam zimni, alo. Do we assume that a person might pay on the day that it's due? Or do we assume people generally don't pay on the day that it's due? Before we answer that question, if you take a look at Tosos, Becheska Shlo Nifte, so Tosos, again, discussing this halacha by Pidyon Raben, which we try to use as a raya, that if it's within the Zman, then the assumption is it hasn't been paid. After the Zman, the assumption is that it has been paid, asks Tosos Vim Tomar, Labayi Domer Perkashutvim, we're going to see very soon, in a couple of weeks, at the very beginning of Maseches Babasra, there's a machlokas, whether people typically pay back loans early. So Abaye says in Perikashutvim, the first parak of Abbasra, Ovidinish depar begozimne, that people do sometimes pay back loans early. It's not uncommon for a person to pay back a loan early. So Amayi havi b'cheska shlo nifte, so why should Pidyon HaBen be any different? Why, by opinion of Rabban, do we assume if the guy died within 30 days, he must have not paid yet? If Abaye holds, generally people pay things that they owe, they pay early. So it says, Tosos v'yishlomar d'hasam havitayim v'kiyechid l'litrdan v'halo shayich b'pidyon aben shiachalitin lezakoyin shiirtze. The reason people pay back early is because they don't want to be bothered by creditors. They don't want to be bothered by people who are chasing after them for money. But when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, there's no one that can chase after you for the money. There's not a single Kohen who can say that you owe him the money. It's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, because you can give it to whichever Kohen you want to give it to. So if any Kohen comes after you, you could just say, I'm sorry, I'm not giving it to you, I'm giving it to some other Kohen. So there's no Tovim on the money, and that's why there's no reason for a person to pay back early when it comes to Pidyon HaBen. The only advantage of paying back early is you avoid the headache of people coming after you. So it says to us that's such a good chiluk. The problem is, it's too good a chiluk, because now, Aval Kasha, Dim Kain, Hechi Maisi Hachami Ne Raya, L'socher, D'Shayich Taim Adilol Litrudan. How can our Gemara then compare Pidyon HaBen to a case of a rental? In a case of a rental, there's certainly the svara that you might want to pay back early so the guy doesn't come after you. You don't want to get the eviction notices. So you're certainly happy sometimes to pay back early. So how can we bring a raya from Pidyon HaBen that no one pays back early to a case of a socher? Maybe in the case of a socher, people would be more inclined to pay up early because they don't want to be bothered. Ella Yesh Lomer, so rather Tosa says we have to say a different svara. The Lahachi Avi Becheska Shlo Nifta. The reason why we assume no one does Pidyon HaBen early is not because it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, but rather it's because there's a fear that if you pay back early, it will be a waste of money, that it will turn out to be unnecessary. Lefi Sheyare Sheyamos HaBen, kid might die, or Yusachlo Amos Tel Shloshim, or the money will get destroyed within 30 days. The money by Pidyon HaBen, it's not like you pay it back and you're done. The money has to be there after 30 days. So if the money gets destroyed, the ein b'no padui, in those cases, the pidyon doesn't count. K'da amarav barak yesh b'char. So you figure, why should I pay back now? If I pay back now, it may turn out to be futile. It may turn out to be for nothing that I'm paying back. V'socher nami yarei lahak demaschar. And the same could be said by a rental agreement. If you pay rent early, you never know what could happen. Pen yipol abayis, the house may fall in. Or yipol beisol shel maskeratzmo v'yotzienu damar le'ata divos minoy k'damar yilel. Or maybe the masker's house may fall in and he'll evict you because he'll say, why should you have the only house that I own? I want to live there. So there are so many things that could happen that could make it that you're going to be paying for nothing because you may not get the service that you're paying for. So the person is not going to want to pay back early. They're going to want to first live in the house, make sure that they have it under their belt, and then they'll go and they'll pay back early. What was Abai saying that Avin Nishta Parabuk Azimni? That's where he's already gotten the service and there was a set amount of time to pay for. For instance, by a loan. I've already gotten the money to use. You just gave me 30 days to pay. So there's no fear that if I pay back after 15 days, that it will have been a waste. It's not a waste. I owe that money no matter what. There's nothing that could happen that's going to make me not owe that money. And therefore, a person might pay back early in those situations, but not in the case of Schirus, and not in the case of Pidyon HaBen. Okay, so anyway, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, what about on the Zman, on the day itself? So on the day itself, do we assume that a person has paid back? Do we believe the socher to assume that he's already paid up, or do we assume he has not paid up? The Ritva quotes two days about the day itself. The Ritva writes, some say that the Yom Achron Shel Schirus, he's chayiv to be poreya because it's the Zman, and therefore it's possible that he already has paid because it's the Zman HaPiraon. And some say that no, that the yom of the last day of the schirus, the guy cannot force him to pay. It's just that we think he might have paid, so that it doesn't come to the point where the person has to be toveya him. I mean, it's a question on that last day: is the money already due, or is the money not already due? So two deus in the Ritva. The Ritva says it seems more like the first pshat that on the last day he can already be toveya him to pay, because the Gemara compares this to Sachir Bizmano, that's Nishba Benotel, right? That a worker who could be Nishba Benotel, and that's obviously on the Yom Achron that he leaves his work on that last day, he's already allowed to be tovea his payment, right? So, because when else is he going to get it? So over here also, on that last day, we're going to make the assumption, says the Ritva, that the payment is already due. It's not that that the payment isn't due, it's just that he doesn't want to get to the point where the guy can be tovea him. No, you're already at the point where the guy can be tovea him. So says Maramul Rabbi Yochanan Tanisua, we already have a Mishnah like this. Sachir Bismano, Mishpah Benotel, right? What do we compare it to? A Sachir Bismano, that he could, a worker on the last day of his work could be Nishpa Benotel. Sachir Hu D'Ram Rabban Shvuelei, Mishum T'Bal Abayis Tarid B'Po'alav. The only reason that the Sachir, the worker, has to take a Shvua even in the first place to be Notel, to take such a Shvua D'Rabbanan, is because the Balabayis is so busy with all of his workers that we assume he has a hard time keeping cheshbon of what he owes to who. So to make him comfortable with the fact that he actually does owe this guy money, he likes to hear him take a shvua that he, so that he could be comfortable with this, with the possibility that he does owe money. Aval hacha socher mehemen b'shvua. But over here, in our case of a rental between a socher and a maskir, the socher is going to be nehemen b'shvua. Good. So says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Haiman to Ogre Lebeis Alechavre Leaser Shnin. A guy rents a house to his friend for 10 years. That's the agreement. It's a 10-year rental. V'kasav leshtara, and they write a shtar on the house. V'amar Le Nikitas Chamesh Shnin, and then he says, you already have it for 5 years. So here's a shtar that says this guy is renting this house for 10 years, but it doesn't say a beginning date and an end date. So it doesn't say from 2009 to 2019, it just says for 10 years. So I come along in 2009 and I say, you've already been there for 5 years, you only have 5 more years left. So Mehemin, he's believed to say that 5 years are already up. Armle Ravachami Difta the Ravina Lameata, Uzfe Mea Zuzi Bishtar Vamle Paraticha Palga Hachinami de Mehemin. He says, wait a second, think about the ramifications of that. So then you're going to tell me that if I lend a guy $100 and I have a shtar that says that he owes me $100, so he could just come back and say, yeah, but I already paid back 50? Is that okay? Is he going to be believed to say something like that? There's a shtar that says that he owes $100. So here also, there's a shtar that says 10 years. So how can you tell me that he's going to be believed to say that 5 years are already up? Samalai Hachi Ashti says, no, you can't compare those two cases at all. Hasam shtar leguvayna ka'i. The purpose of the shtar is to collect with. Im isa depare, ibay le lemichtava agabe. And therefore, if some of that shtar was already paid, that should have been noted on the shtar. Someone should have written something. Inami michtava le tavra. And if it wasn't going to be noted on the shtar, at least write a receipt for the $50 that were paid up. Aval hacha, but in the case over here where it's a rental shtar, it's a lease agreement that you're going to lease the house for 10 years, he says, no, the only reason I wrote the shtar is so that you shouldn't have a chazaka in the house. Meaning you have a chazaka in that house for 3 years, and you're going to claim it belongs to you, so I wrote a shtar to make it very clear that you don't have a chazaka in the house, that the house still belongs to me. It has nothing to do with payment and making sure that after each day that we have a little check-off calendar in the bottom of the shtar, you know, when each day is up or anything like that. No, the whole point of the shtar is just to make sure that you don't have a chazaka. So since the shtar isn't there for the raya primarily, so if we didn't make adjustments because the facts changed over time, so it's not such a big kasha that we didn't make adjustments. It's still doing its job as being a shtar that takes away your chance at a chazaka. If you look at Tosos, he has a couple of different approaches in this Gemara, in the whole Shakla Vitari over here. Tosos, in the top Tosos, Pirush Rach Lashon Echad B'chein B'Kuntrus, She'ein Kasav B'shtar Lo Tchilas Hashanim V'lo Sofan. The shtar does not say when the beginning of the 10-year lease is, nor when the end of the 10-year lease is. Vashtar biyad asocher, the socher is holding on to the shtar, right? The tenant is holding on to the shtar. Va'omer maskul asocher kvar darta heishanim. And the masker says to the socher, I know you have a shtar that says that you can live there for 10 years, but you've already lived there for 5. Uparich bishtar milva min neman loma prati palga. And then the Gemara asks, but on a loan document, can you do the same thing? Can you say, I've already paid back half? Umishani, and the Gemara answers, Hacha amalei haide kasvi lach shtara ki yechid vol techza. What does that mean? Pirish, ikar ashtar nichtav bishvili. The maskir, the balabayas can say, look, the shtar was written for my benefit. Shalo tomar lakuach hu biyadi, so that you shouldn't be able to say that you bought it, that you bought this house and that it belongs to you. The Eina Shtar Biyadcha, I, if the Shtar really was written for my benefit, why are you the one that's holding on to it? Right? Meaning one would imagine that if I need that Shtar to prove that I didn't sell my house, that that someone else doesn't own my house, I should be the one hanging on to the Shtar, not the I being the Masker, the Balabai, should be the one hanging on to the Shtar, not the Socher. He says, no, Ve'ena Shtar Biyadcha, L'kadei Shlo Echa Shlo Cheshbon Hashanim, Kama Hayu. It's just the only reason you have the Shtar is that we don't, I won't take away from the number of years that you're supposed to be there. Mikol Makom, Ikra Shtar B'Shvili Nichta, but primarily the purpose of the Shtar is for me. Shali Dei Kein Yesh Kol, Shab Mashkantu Hu Hatzlacha, Av B'Sha Shtar Biyadcha. Because this star creates a kol, that this house is only leased to you, it's not a house that you get to keep, and even though you have the star in your hand, the star's primary purpose is for me. That's how we understood it, that's how Rashi understands it. V'lashon sheni pirush rach, v'zelashona. However, the rach has a second pshat. Yesh om shakasu b'shtar, b'zman kach v'kach schacharti chatzeru shalploni eser shanim. The star says, on this date, I rented this house for 10 years. B'kuf dinarim for 100 dinar, yud dinarim b'kol shana, 10 dinars for a year. V'achar hei shanim, 5 years into it, toin asocher, v'amr lemaskir, the tenant goes and makes a taina to the balabayis, to the landlord, nitkita schirus chameshnin v'chulei, meaning I've already paid you for 5 years. It's not an issue of how long they lived there. How long you lived there is clear. It's in the Shtar. Shtar said it started in 2004. It's now 2009. Obviously, he's been living there for 5 years. Socher's whole time is I already paid for the first 5 years. Vasikna da socher neman. And the maskana is that the socher is believed to say that. Ubishvua with the shvua mustavra ki hai perusha basra'a. And says the Rach, I like this last shot better. Ad kalashonam. The Lashon Zen Nira Iker and Tulsa says, so do I. I like the second pshat better also. Why? What's better about the second pshat than the first pshat? So he says, V'lashon zeh nira ikir, chadud b'nei amanus ha-socher omer shapara ha-schirus ayri nami le'elmine b'samuch. Meaning, what was the previous case we were discussing in the Gemara? We were talking about whether the socher is believed to say he's paid back the rent. So it's most likely that the case that follows is also about whether the socher is neman to say that he's paid up rent. So it fits best into context. And this also makes more sense that the svara that we say that the masker's taina is the whole purpose of the shtar is not for collection. The purpose of the shtar is just that they shouldn't have a chazaka. Well, if that's really the purpose of the shtar, if it's really primarily to benefit the masker should be the one holding on to the shtar. So this second pshat has the masker holding on to the shtar. Right? The shtar is an agreement of how much is going to be paid for this lease, and the masker is the one that's holding on to it. So it makes more sense that the masker should be holding on to the shtar if the masker is going to have a taina that the shtar was written primarily for himself. So that's why Tosa says we like the second pshat better. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Amar of Nachman, Shoel Adam Betuvo Liolam. A person could be Shoel Betuvo forever. What does that mean? Four pshatim. Rashi pshat number one. Shol adam betuva liolam. Imra adam kli lechavero. If a guy sees his friend as a kli, va'amar ashileni betuvo, and he says, lend it to me betuvo in its goodness. Va'amar lei hein, and the person who owns it says, okay. So shol liolam. That kli is now lent to him forever. Kolz manshu roi lemalacha. So long as that kli is usable, He's allowed to keep it, to hang on to it. The high betuvo, what does betuvo mean? Mashmalan kolzmanchu hutuvo afilu machziro chozer benotel k'sheit starech means so long as the kli is still good, so long as kolzmanchu tov it should be. As long as the kli is still good, as long as the kli is still effective, as long as it's still usable, he can always use it. So even if I returned it already, I borrowed it and I returned it, I could always take it back and say, give it back to me, because you lent it to me betuvo, so long as it's still good. That's one pshat. Tosos, pshat number two. Shol adam betuvo, ba'aruch be'erech shol mefaresh, betuvo betova, shemachzik ha'shol ha'mashil, yachla shol l'shtamish li'olam be'kelev shol mashil ve'in nira. He says it's the tova that the shoal is machzik to the mashil. That's in for that hakaris hatov that he's going to have. That's going to allow him to use that kli forever. So betuvo is not about the kli, it's about the feelings between the shoel and the mashiel. Third pshat is the Rif writes that someone who's shoel a kli mechavero to use, and he says to the mashiel in such a lashon, hashileni b'tovascha kli zeh l'shtamish bo, out of, because you're such a good guy, out of the goodness of your heart, lend me a kli to use, and he never set a time for the kli to be returned, he's allowed to use it forever. Rav Nachman says he never has to return it. The chiddush is when he says b'tovascha, it's that it's the mashil being good, being kind and out of the goodness of his heart, and it's a different kind of she'ela. Stam she'ela is shloshim yom. I borrow something, so the assumption is 30 days. But when I say b'tovascha, I'm saying that you're going to be better than a stam she'ela. What's better? Forever. So that's the Chiddush Rav Nachman. So again, Betuvo doesn't mean the Kli. It's not about the goodness of the Kli, nor about the goodness of our relationship. It's about the goodness of the person, of the lender, that he's just a good guy. And since he's going to be good and generous, since he's such a generous person, that's what Betuvo means. This is a She'ela of generosity, and the ultimate generosity that one can show in a She'ela is to never ask for it back. So it's a she'ela of complete generosity. The Rush asks him that, but wait a second, come on, does that really mean, when I say asei li tova, do me a favor, so that means that you have to be completely generous and everything is being given just because you're asking to do a favor? So it's a little bit difficult to understand that pshat of the Rif. Okay, the fourth pshat is the Ritva, says that if you borrow a kli to use forever, so long as you need it, you're still the deal is that it should be forever, but you're still going to be a shoel. Meaning the chiddush is not that you get to keep it forever, even though that was unstated. Says the Ritva, no, it was stated that you get to keep it forever. That wasn't the issue. The chiddush of Rav Nachman is that you still have a din of a shoel, because after all, if I'm borrowing a kli that I get to use forever, isn't that not a borrowing? Isn't it now a matana? Didn't that mean you gave it to me now if I'm able to use it forever? And therefore, shouldn't I not be chayiv in onsin? A shoel is chayiv in onsin. You give me matana, so if it gets destroyed, it gets destroyed. So the chiddush is that if you set it in a lashon she'ela, that it's still going to be shoel, even though it's li'olam, even though I'm going to be able to use that kli for forever. Okay, says the Gemara Vaitus. That was Rav Nachman's chiddush. Amar Rav Mari bereit Bas Shmuel v'hu dekani minei. Rav Mari, the son of Bas Shmuel, said that that's only if a kinyan was done. Bereit Bas Shmuel, that's an unusual name, right? So Rashi tells us in Maseches Brachos, I don't think he says it over here, but Rashi in Maseches Brachos tells us the whole story, how you got a name like Bereit Bas Shmuel. He says, Bekama Mekomos, Rashi says, Kari le Bar Rachel u Bas Shmuel. It's called Bar Rachel and Bas Shmuel. He says that she was Nishbis Lebena Amim. She was a woman who was captured by Goyim. The Gemara tells us the story in Ksubas Chav Gimel. And one of the Goyim was Boel her, and she became pregnant from him. And then that person who was Boel her was Nisgayer, and his name is Isser. The Gemara says in Babasra Kuf Memtes. So Rav Mari, his son, was someone whose conception was Shalom Bikdusha. So we don't call him after his father's name, meaning we're going to avoid names that are embarrassing for Tanaim and Amoraim. So if the father is an embarrassing name, so we're not going to use the father's name, we'll use the mother's name and the grandfather's name, because that's less embarrassing. That's one of the rayas I just saw yesterday. Ravadi Yosef in his Sefer Nafei Tzavos on Pirkei Avos quotes, I think from a Chida, that you shouldn't use names from before the days of the Avos. He says that when we name our children, it should always be from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. So all the Achronim jump all over that, and they say, what are you talking about? How can you say, Noach is not a name that people can use? Yefes is not a name that people can use. He says, there's an Amora, Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes. And they would never, so you'll say, so what? So his father's name was Yefes, doesn't mean it was okay. And even if his father was Rabbi Yefes, who was also an Amora, just he didn't name himself. Right, but no, they wouldn't call him by that name. They would never use the name. They would have come up with some other chap to avoid calling him by that name if it weren't appropriate. So he said it can't be that there's a problem with this. Okay, anyway, Amar Rav Mari Breid Rav Ashi Umahadle Kasei. I'm sorry, did I? Yeah, so he says, so Rav Mari Braid Rav Ashi says, Umahadulay Kase, that he has to return his the kli to him. When it breaks and when it's no longer usable, so he has to return the broken pieces of that kli to the person who gave it to him. Even though it's a She'ela Liolam, still he's got to give back the broken pieces. Let's say a guy says to his friend, lend me that shovel that so I could plow this pardes. Rafik Behu Pardesa. What's he allowed to do with the shovel? He can plow that pardes, nothing else. Pardisa, if he doesn't say this pardes, he says, I want to borrow this just to plow a pardes. Rafik Behu called pardes the bayi. So you can plow whichever one pardes he chooses. He said a pardes, he's got to plow a pardes, not multiple pardes. Pardesi, if he says, I want to plow multiple pardesim, rafik va'azil kol pardesi de islayu mahadale kase, then he can go and plow whichever pardes he wants, all the pardesim that he wants, multiple pardesim, and then return back the broken pieces after he's done plowing all the pardesim and until he wears the kli down to the point that it's broken, because that was the deal. The deal was that it could be used for all the pardesim. Says Tosos, pardesi rafik be kol pardesi de islayu tomar damar bresha mochar sabayis arasa tarti mashma. The Gemara Basra says that whenever you use a plural, we always assume you're talking about the minimum plural, right? That whenever you say something plurally, we always assume you're talking about two and not more. So over here also, when you say arasa, the Gemara says you mean two lands, not more. If I say I'm selling you arasa, so that means I'm selling you two fields. Doesn't mean I'm selling you 10 fields or all my fields. Right, so here as well, why pardesi? If I say I want to borrow the kli to plow my pardesi, right, my fields, so why is it? Why do we assume it's everything? It's as many pardesis as I want to plow. Why don't we assume that it's only two? So if you skip down a couple lines, it tells us Yishlomar da'inu dafka gabe mecher de'in lan lomar shemachar kol karkosav. When do we assume it's only two? When it's a sale, that we don't assume that a person sells all of his property. Ela pachos. We always assume that when you use the lashon of plural, you meant the minimum plural. Aval b'she'ele inu makbid the mashal lekol tzarcho. But by when you lend somebody something, we assume you're not makbid, you're willing to give him for whatever he needs it for. So if he needs to use it for all of his fields, because he'd use it for all your fields. Va'od yishlamur dahasim yad lo keach ala tachtona shamuchar muchzak. V'hacha yad ha-mashil ala tachtona shashol muchzak. Also, it's a question of who's muchzak in it right now. Over there, the lokeach has the lower hand because the mocher is one that's muchzak in all those fields. Over here, the mashil has the lower hand because the shoel is muchzak in the kli right now. You definitely lent him this kli for something, so he has that kli, he's muchzak in it, and therefore we assume that he could that he can continue to use it on all the fields. Okay, vaytu in the Gemara. Amar Rav Papa. Hay man damar leil chavrei ushlan hay gorgosa. Vinafla lo banila. If a guy says, I'm borrowing this spring of water, and then caved in, so he doesn't have to rebuild the frim. Gargosa vinafla banila. But if he says, I'm not this spring, I'm borrowing a spring from you, and one of them caved in, so he's got to be rebuilt. Be gargosa kari va'azil kama gargosi ba'are ad mishramile. If he says, I want to borrow many springs, so he can dig springs of water as much as he wants in the property. But he has to do some form of kinyan at the beginning, and if he doesn't do a kinyan, then it's only a dibur bi'alma, and he can't bind into anything. So we have to assume that there was a kinyan done in order for any of this to be binding. New Mishnah. If I rent a house to my friend, and then the house falls in, so I got to give him a new house, because I told him that he's going to be able to rent a house from me. If it was a small house, I should not provide him instead with a big house. A big house, I should not provide him instead with a small house. If it was one house, I can't provide him with two. If it was two, I can't provide him, meaning one floor, I can't provide him with two. Two floors, I can't provide him with one. I can't change the basic structure of it. I can't close up windows nor add windows when in the new house that I'm building, not closing up windows, meaning make less windows than there were. Closing up windows is a whole different story. I can't make less windows than there were, nor more windows than there were, unless both are in agreement. Say, what's the case exactly? If I say that by Yizeh that I'm renting this house, so when it fell, there is no longer this house, I shouldn't have to rebuild him anything. If I told him I'm renting him a by Yizeh, not this house, but a house, so Echad Amai Lo Yasen Shnayim, Katan Amai Lo Yasen Gadol. Why can't I change the basic structure of the house when I rebuild? Doesn't matter. I never told him this is the house he's going to be able to rent for me for 30 days. I told him he's going to rent a house for 30 days. So why can't, when I rebuild it, why can't I just change it? So Amrei Shlakish, Amrei Bayisha, Nimaskilach, Midasarcho Kach. No, I told him the exact dimensions of the house that I'm actually renting to him. Then what's the chiddush? Of course, if I told him exact dimensions, I can't alter that. Now, I told him that I'm renting him a house like this. Meaning I never specifically said the dimensions in the shtar, I just pointed to the house and said, a house like that, that's what you're going to get. So v'akatim and the memra, still what's the chiddush? Of course you can't change it. You told them it's going to be kazeh. So answers my lo tzricha to kai yagudu dinara. No, it's a house that's by the riverbank. It's on the beach. Ma'u detema mai kazeh to kai yagudu dinara. I might have thought that when I said a house like this, all I meant is a beachfront property. But exactly the layout of the house and how the house is going, that isn't included in the deal. It's not what I meant by kazeh. Kamash Milan, therefore the mission comes to teach me that is what I meant by kazeh, and that's what I have to provide him with. I have to provide him with a house that's literally kazeh. Hadron Lachashol. Okay, we now start the ninth parak of Maseches Bava Metzia. HaMekabel Sadeh Mechavero. If a person is mekabel a field as an aris, as a sharecropper, from his friend to work on the field, or not an aris, or a chocher also, which is an agreement where instead of getting X percentage of the produce, instead I'm going to pay 1,000 bushels of wheat to you a year. Whatever the field produces, right? Either of those two types of deals. Either I get a percentage of the produce, half of the produce, and the owner of the field gets the other half of the produce, or I'm going to pay the owner of the field, either worker, I'm going to pay the owner of the field 1,000 bushels of wheat a year, whether the field produces 900 bushels of wheat or whether the field produces 20,000 bushels of wheat. Good. So makabel sadeh mechaveru. In any of these situations, makom shnagu liktzar yiktzar. If the way that they remove the produce from the field by being kotzer, then that's the way I should do it. Laakor. But if the way they do it is by uprooting, not by cutting it, but by uprooting it, yakor. Then I should uproot it. Lachrosh. If the lachrosh achrav, yachrosh. If it's normal to do plowing right afterwards, then you plow, right after what? So says Rashi, Achara Katsiva, Oha Akiva. After you do the harvesting, whether it be by cutting or by uprooting, so if the minig is that they then go plow through the land, in order to turn over the bad weeds, via musav lo yachzru, so that they should die out and they shouldn't go and replenish themselves, so then I should do that. Hakol k'minag ha-medina, everything follows the minag ha-medina. K'shem shechol k'mitvua, k'chol k'mitevnu v'kashin. Just like we divide the produce, the actual grain, so too we divide the straw, the hay, whatever. K'shem shecholkin b'yayin, k'cholkin b'zmurus v'kanim. And just like we divide the wine in a vineyard, so too we divide the vines and the different parts of the vines that and the poles that hold up the vines, all the byproducts of the wine. Also, we also divide. U'shneim esapkin esakanim, and they both provide the poles that hold up the vines. Vines don't just grow on their own; they need to be held up. You need to have little poles that hold up the vines so that they're able to grow properly. Who provides those poles? Both of us provide the poles. Both the guy who's working there and the guy who owns it. And therefore, when it comes to split up all the profits, they actually split the poles also because they both provided the poles. Tana, makom shnagu liktzar eino rashi lakor, lakor eino rashi liktzar. If it's a place where the minig is to be kotzer, you can't be oker. If it's a place where the minig is to be oker, you can't be kotzer. Ushnei makvin zal zen, they can both stop each other. Liktzar eino rashi lakor, hayam rabina detitvan li arai. Right? Why would you want to be? Meaning, if it's a place where the minig is to be kotzer, you can't be oker, because the bala sada could say, I want the titvan li arai. I don't want you to be oker, because I want my land to have a little bit of straw, a little bit of something left in it, so that I can use that as manure. V'hayam or lomatzina, lomatzina. And the other one could say, yeah, but it's such a hassle. Meaning, if the Baal HaBayis wants me to be oker, right? Why wouldn't I be oker? Because it's a hassle to be oker, to rip everything out at its roots. So the worker may not want to do it. Lakarena Rashai Liktsar. If the minhag is to be oker, neither one can force the other one to be kotzer, because Hayamar the Baal HaBayis might say, but ina detinakar arayi, I want you to clear out my land. So don't you tell me you're going to be kotzer, you're not going to be oker. I want everything absolutely cleared out, so I want you to be oker. The Hayamar, and the worker can say, but ina tivna, he could say, well, I need tevin for my animals, so I don't want the tevin to remain in the land. Once we say that, why each one could have a taina not to do against the minhag, why both the Baal HaBayis and the worker could have a taina not to do against the minhag, regardless of what the minhag is and regardless of what they want to do. So why do you need to then tell me shnei ma'akvin zal zo? You just said that, right? That's just a repetition of the same halacha. Says Gemara, no matam ka amar. It's just giving an explanation. Matam liktzar reina rashi lakar lakar reina rashi liktzar. Why is it that if the minhag is to be oker, you can't be kotzer? If the minhag is to be kotzer, can't be oker? Because either one, meaning I can't say to myself, you know what? He only told me I should be kotzer, but I'm going to do him a bigger favor. I'm going to clear out his land. I'm going to be oker. I can't say that on my own, because if he doesn't want me to be oker, I'm not allowed to. And there's a good reason why he might not want me to be oker. As we said before, he may want the zevel. He may want the weeds to remain there to use it as a zevel. So since he has a reason to not want me to do it, I can't go against the minhag. Lachrosh achrov yachrosh. We said if the minhag is to be choresh after you do the akira or katsira, so then that's what the worker should do. Of course, that's what, you know, we're getting the idea, right? The idea is you follow the minhag. Why would you not? So it says Maralotricha v'asu de lo menachshi va'azul ihu v'nachish. That we're talking about a case where when the tvua was still attached to the ground, there was a place where the minhag was not to weed it while the tvua was still attached to the ground, and I did that. Right, it's just that it grew back a little bit. So ma'u detema amalei haydin achishna adaita delo karibnala. I might think that he can say, look, the reason I weeded it out while it was still growing is so that I shouldn't have to go plow again afterwards. Meaning I was doing the nichush instead of the charisha, and therefore I'm pater ready. I already did the equivalent of the charisha. Kamashmalan di yibayle lefusha. Kamashmalan, that if you're going to do that, you need to explain that the reason you're going to do nichisha is because you don't plan on doing charisha. That has to be explicit in the original agreement. And if it's not in the original agreement, that's not the assumption we make. We thought you were just doing the nichisha because you're just a really nice guy, and you're still responsible to do the charish afterwards if there are still weeds left afterwards that you need to be charish, that you need to turn over. Hakol kamina gamadina. So says Gemara, okay, the rest of the Mishnah taught us everything is kamina gamadina. So hakol asuyemai, what chiddush is being added by saying everything is kamina gamadina? So asuyei hadutan rabban makom shnagu lahaskri lanos al gabi karka maskirin. That if the minig is that if people rent the ilanos together with a field that's really a grain field. So I have a sharecropper working on the grains in this field, and there happen to be trees that grow fruit in the field also. Sharecropper doesn't have to do a darn thing with the fruit trees. They just grow themselves. So if the minhag is that the sharecropper still gets to get fruits from the trees, even though doesn't have to do anything with it, so then good. So then that goes along with it. Makom shein nagel haskir ein maskirin. And if the minhag is that he doesn't get the fruits, he doesn't get it. Makom shnagel haskir maskirin pshita. Says Gemara, well, isn't that obvious that if the minhag is that he gets fruits, so he's going to get it? Well, tsricha. No, the case is that there was a slight change in the agreement. To kuli alma yavi betilsa vazel ihu v'yav beriva. Normally, the Baal HaBayis gets 1/3 of the produce of the land. This case, he gave the Baal HaBayis only a river of the land, only a quarter of the land, and the worker, the sharecropper, gets 3/4. So the sharecropper is getting paid above market. So ma'u detema, I might think, damar leh, the Baal HaBayis could say to him, "Hay debatri lach hadaita delo yivne lach bi'ilanos." Is the why do you think I'm giving you such a high salary? It's because I don't want you taken from the trees. That's why I'm giving you 3/4 of the grain. Kamashmalan di by leil fushalei. So kamashmalan that you have to say that if you mean it. Makom shenagu shalola haskir ein maskir. And if it's a minhag where they're not maskir, the ilanos where you don't get it, so then you don't get it. Pshita, that's also obvious. Lo tzricha dekuliyam lekabel beriva vazaliv vekibel betilsa. No, you're underpaying the sharecropper. Malzat teimar amalei haidet tefayilach adaita dihavas lach libi ilanos. I might think that the sharecropper could say, why do you think I'm giving you the balabais a higher percentage of the grain? It's because I was hoping you'd give me fruits from the tree. So Kamashmalan has to say that. Kshem shecholkim mitzvua kach cholkim b'tevin uvakash. Amar Rav Yosef, b'bavel nihigu d'lo yahavi tivna la'arisa. In Bavel, the minigas, they don't give tevet to the aris. L'may nafkamina, who cares what the minigas in Bavel? D'yika inish d'yahav ayin yafu hu v'lo gamrina minei. If someone does it, he's just being generous, but we can't learn from there that there's any sort of chiyuv. Amar Rav Yosef, b'chra v'tafsa v'arkafta v'kani d'chizra d'balabayis. All of these items belong to are the responsibility of the balabais, meaning the to pay for the area around the field where they would make like a little dirt wall around the field. That's the responsibility of the balabais. The chizru gufei da arisa, and the fence itself is the artist's responsibility. Klal demilsa kol ikur bilma to balabais. Anything that's the primary shmira on the field, balabais has to pay for. Niturus yisir to darisa. Anything that's extra, that's beyond what's normally needed, that the artist is going to have to pay for. Vamar Rav Yosef maruz vila v'davlo v'zarnuka to balabais. That these different expenses to water and to manure the field, the balabais has to go through those expenses. Arisa avid beyaori, but the artist is supposed to dig the waterways in the field so that the water can go and irrigate the entire field. Okay, we'll get to the Mishnah tomorrow. We'll stop here.